Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Wow.
Hello and welcome to the Abroad Japan podcast. Probably the best way of learning about life in Japan without actually being in Japan. I'm your host, Chris Broad, and we're joined as always by England's top Japan enthusiast, Mr. Pete Donaldson himself. Pete, how the devil are you doing? What's going on?
I'm okay, Christopher. I say I'm okay. I'm a little bit upset because I've done one thing that I think every dog owner gets upset by if it ever happens to them. I've accidentally got a bit of dog food on my hand, and it's made me feel a bit. It's giving me the jips. I'm not enjoying life, to be honest. I'm like, I've got dog food on my hand. I didn't notice, and now my hand smells of dog food. So. The listeners and the viewers take nothing else from this show, just know that my hand smells of dog food, and it's just one of those. It's one of those feelings next to, I don't know, cotton wool on the teeth, fingers down a blackboard. dog food on your hand is very upsetting. I find anyway.
That sounds horrible. I mean, I spend a phenomenal amount of time with cats now. Our youngest cat, Tuna, who I've talked about at length. Being a tyrannical cat who can open doors and seemingly perform the impossible. We put him in a cage once when we first got him, and at about 7 a.m. he burst into the room and jumped on my face and was like, and we were like, how did he get out? He moved the door opened, went in there, the door was shut, and to this day we don't know how he got out. We're talking like a cage with small gaps, you know, like the metal's close together. He must have literally stuffed his head through and done a Houdini, like a snake or something. Like I don't know how he did it.
Is he made of molten metal, Chris? That's what we need to ascertain. I think is he made of liquid metal? Could he squeeze through? Yeah.
Honestly, sometimes I'm also. Hearts.
I'm also eating some love hearts as well. Should we do a little? Love hearts are great, but around about like. Around about the year 2000, they started filling them with like absolute millennial junk, saying stuff like "email me," you know, "text me," you know, "I love you,"
swipe left,
man, like just all that nonsense. So hang on,
do we have love hearts in the rest of the world, or is it a British phenomenon? They're basically sweets, guys, where there's a little love heart and it has a little romantic message on it, and they
taste a little romantic message on it. Yeah,
pretty sketchy. Yeah.
Okay, it just says you can. I don't come to love hearts for inspirational messages. I come to love hearts for love messages. Not you can. It should be inspirational. It should be
you
about,
can do it.
You know, dog food on the hand kind of love. It's true. There's another one. It's true. None of this makes sense. None of this is these love hearts. Oh, yeah. I don't think Americans have love hearts. I think they have. Do they have sweethearts? I think I spoke about this on the podcast a couple of years ago. I got obsessed with the quite sort of, I think, 70s sweet in America. Sweethearts. Mm. And they are insanely good. And you can get really big ones. And you put it in the mouth and it fills your mouth. But you have to brush your teeth immediately afterwards, because otherwise your teeth will ache for about 3 days. I'm off to WrestleMania in a few weeks' time in Philadelphia, and I'm going to absolutely fill my carry-on full of sweethearts for the journey home, and then I'll just spend a month complaining about why my teeth absolutely kill.
I mean, American sweets are on another level. Famously, Natsuki described Hershey's chocolate as having an animal smell. We did a blind taste test, and he was nearly physically sick.
You need
Hershey's.
A cup of coffee with American you need a cup of coffee with American chocolate, I think. You need to sort of acquire a bit of a taste. Once you've got it, though, it's there for life, I think. But, yeah, you're right. The first few times you have, like, a Hershey's Kiss or something, it's like, oh, God, why does it taste like cat sick? Why does it taste like dog food?
It really does. It really does. But what I will say is I remember going to America as a kid for the first time when I was 9 and being amazed in an American sweet shop at the fact there was more than one flavour of Skittles. Because in the UK, it's just the bland red packet. In America, it was like tropical flavour, sour flavour, excitement flavour. Yeah. And I was like, wow, America's such a great country. It's just so much better than anywhere else. They've got all the sweets. They've won. I don't feel like that anymore.
Like American products, they have, like, for some reason, they legally, presumably down to the aforementioned, is it Surgeon General? Is he? I think he's just medicine, isn't he? Whatever USDA, I think you have to have, like, big warnings on your packaging if you've got anything naughty in it, and that's always quite disturbing. Like, there's colour in this that could kill you and your family for generations. It could make you sterile, like on these lovely sweets, you know, some old Cracker Jacks or something.
Get a mouthful of that tasty trisodium phosphate. I remember Warheads, though, like the first time I had a Warhead. Have you ever had that sour sweet? It's like pure explosion in your mouth.
They're the most available, because like a lot of like tax write-offs and like dodgy, like is it Kuwaiti companies or Iraq? No, not Iraqi. You know, like basically the high street in London is basically there's always like an American candy store, and I think it's Kuwaiti businessmen and women. They it's like this weird tax write-off thing. So apologies to the Kuwaitis if I've besmirched your good name, but I'm fairly certain like a load of the ones on Oxford Circus was, I think, Kuwaiti. Anyway, they rock up. They do half a year's worth of business, and they don't find any bits and bobs, and then chip off. It's a great business plan, it's a really interesting little. But they just sell American candy, and they don't seem to be doing that much of a trade. But they're always there, they're like the American Warheads are always. They're always front and centre next to, like, some marshmallow-flavoured, like, Hershey nonsense. But they're always front and centre, and they're always very available. But I've never dirtied my boots with them.
Get ready for lemon flavour, because that
lemon
is...
Lemon flavour.
It's one of those sweets that you think about and your mouth just salivates and begins to, like...
Salivates?
Salivates.
Is your mouth salivating?
It is. It's salivating for this week's story, and this story comes from David. And it's very long because whoever did the podcast this week, probably Dave, didn't
get
it
red.
Down. It begins.
Get it
Hello,
red.
Chris
Stop
and
complaining.
Pete. This story takes place one chilly afternoon in Kyoto just before Christmas. I'd been to Japan on a solo trip before, and this time I'd been acting as a bit of a tour guide for my parents. After sightseeing in Gion, we were all feeling hungry, and at this point in the trip, we had already eaten quite a lot of sushi, ramen, udon, yakitori, and pretty much just about everything. It was at this point I made the executive decision that we should go to a magical and mysterious place I'd heard so much about, the famous Japanese McDonald's, which I'd still not been to. Fun fact, just last week, Mark Zuckerberg was in Japan, and he went to McDonald's. He described it as being, I think, like a Michelin-star experience. Yeah. So there you go, Mark Zuckerberg. He's just like all of us. He's a normal boy. It was at this point, everything was going smoothly. And as we sat down in our seats, I was excited to see just how excellent a Japanese Big Mac really is. My mum had ordered a salad, and it had come with a peculiar salad dressing packet, which requires you to squeeze it in a certain way so as not to cause complete and total disaster. It was at this point, my mum, unaware that she had it pointing in the wrong direction, squeezed on the salad dressing packet, sending the fluid over in the direction of an innocent and unsuspecting Japanese family. I was sitting on the opposite side And not being able to fully assess the damage, I started panicking. I tried to reassure my parents, saying, oh, maybe it didn't hit them, don't worry, as the family were sitting in a booth and not directly beside us. Later, as we were leaving, I noticed one of the family members get up, and on the back of the poor woman's jacket, there was, in fact, salad dressing all over it. Staff began running over to wipe off the stains, trying to figure out how such a horrible crime could have possibly taken place. A commotion set in, and with my parents having already exited McDonald's after their terrorist act. Fully panicked, I began making excuses. I don't know Japanese to explain what happened, blah, blah, blah. Basically, this guy made his way out of McDonald's and got away with it after destroying a family's jacket with some salad dressing. An act of terrorism by all accounts. Poor family. Unsuspecting family, you know.
I like the fact that they sort of like thought they thought, oh, maybe we got away with it. And they just looked at this salad cream all over the back of somebody. they're going to be railroaded out of town for crying out loud. Awful. The new Johnny Somali, the salad cream murderer. Oh, yeah, yeah.
My God. I went to Wendy's the other day. This is starting to turn into just all American culture.
Reviewing American culture. To be honest, I did have a quick look to see if I could find out whether it was Kuwaiti businesses. I don't know where I got Kuwaiti. I even looked on the Daily Mail website. I thought, look, if somebody's going to be jingoistic and, you know, anti-foreign, it's going to be them. And they've not mentioned a country apart from they were registered in Jersey and Russia. So I don't know where I got Kuwaiti from. Apologies to the Kuwaitis. It was something from my deep recesses of my mind. I promise you I wasn't being problematic. I'll be problematic in other ways, so don't worry about that later on.
You will. But I went to Wendy's and it was the worst burger I've ever had. It was like...
Oh.
Like the burger just tasted mouldy. It was... I like Wendy's. I like the Baconator. I live for the Baconator. And now I don't want to go to Wendy's ever again. In the same way,
what
just yesterday...
What is the Baconator? It's just like a burger with bacon on it. Is that what the Baconator is?
So it's a fair assumption. It's kind of like a square burger. I mean, all Wendy's burgers are square. That's their unique selling point. Somebody went,
like a Scottish sausage. Right, okay.
A little bit. I think they just assumed if it's square, that's our unique selling point. McDonald's and Burger King don't have square burgers. But like, yeah, it was awful. That's a real shame.
What's the animal that does cuboid poos? Wombat? Do wombats do cuboid poos? This is an animal that does cuboid poos. Like that's their USP.
You'd be so good on a pub quiz with your Kuwaiti sweet shop knowledge.
Half-remembered knowledge. Right, knowledge. Kuwaiti. Right, Kuwaiti. It's Russian and Jerseyan, you idiot.
Bloody hell.
Nuts.
Dear, oh dear. But I went for... yesterday, for the first time in a while, I went for skemen, which is kind of like dipping ramen.
Skemen? Oh.
You don't know skemen? Oh,
no, I've never heard of skemen. It sounds like a fish. What do you do? Just dip like bread in your ramen, like a hot soup.
No. So okay. Skemen, it's kind of like, I think it's the kanji for like skedu with and men noodles. And basically you have it's like somebody got a ramen and like separated it in a magical machine. But basically the broth is here. You've got your noodles and your pork and your egg in a separate bowl, and then you pick it up and dip it in and eat it. And typically with skemen sort of broth, it's more concentrated, it's stronger as well.
Ikea ramen.
a little bit, but that would probably be better than what I had yesterday. Like in Sakata, where I used to live, they had the best skemen ever. Everything was so good. This place, I was walking around Tokyo trying to film something. It was all going horribly wrong. I saw this restaurant. I was like, oh, yeah, this will turn my fortunes around. Skemen, I haven't had that in 4 years. Went in, and it was shit. And the reason it was shit was because, for some reason, everything was just really weirdly cold. And when you have them in separate bowls, they're still supposed to be hot, and you dip it in, and it's nice. What happened here is the noodles, the egg, and the pork were cold. The broth was, like, really weird. The top of the broth was hot, and the bottom of the broth was cold, as if it had, like, transcended the laws of thermodynamics. I don't know why...
The laws of... The Goldilocks law, I call it.
Or the shit microwave law, as I call it, because I'm guessing they must have put it in the microwave or something, this liquid, but not to the right amount of time. I don't know. All I know is it was pretty rancid, and I was very disappointed. And then I was very lethargic for 3 hours because it was a very noodle-heavy meal. So I lost on all fronts.
Didn't want to dip it.
It's a disaster.
Sounds like you had a terrible... Why don't you just have a Wendy's baked potato? Come on.
Can't eat Wendy's. I can't eat fucking skimming.
Wendy's.
Maybe
all of your you know, your Japanese, your love of the Japanese food has just absolutely deserted you, and you just want something a bit British again.
Maybe. But my life might be bad, but it's not as bad as the poor principal in this week's story. This is a really depressing story.
But it
involves coffee, theft, and a man who lost his job, his life, and everything stealing like a 300 yen coffee. Anyway, take it away, Pete. Fill us in. What's going on?
You always sort of walk up to telling the whole story and then you just jump over the line and tell the whole story
with the last sentence.
And go, tell us all about it. I was like, you've just said it. But I was going to say, Chris, that I do like Japan because there is a real kind of raft of measures you can give men of advancing years. Because if you... you commit a crime late in life, they can take your pension off you really like soon as look at you. A junior high school principal in Kobe has lost his job and retirement pay, believed to be around about $135,000, as a punishment for overfilling his coffee at a convenience store in Takasago, Hyogo Prefecture. According to the school board, the principal paid 110 yen at the counter of a convenience store to buy a regular-sized coffee at a self-service coffee machine. However, a store clerk noticed that he filled his cup by pressing the button for a large coffee, which actually cost 180 yen. Police sent files on the suspected theft to the Himeji branch of the Kobe District Public Prosecutor's Office. The prosecutors acknowledged that he committed the theft but decided not to indict him. The school board officials basically said, right, what's all this about, mate? You've been getting bigger coffees and you've been pressing the big coffee button and you've only been paying for a small coffee. The man said, I did it on the impulse of the moment, and he's truly sorry for his misconduct. He also admitted doing the same thing four times at another store, bringing the total amount he had scammed to 490 yen. How much is that in dollars and poons?
It's about £2.
£3? £2?
Or $3.
Right.
$3. $3. $135,000 salary.
So basically the board official told the Asahi Shimbun. Good God, can you imagine the Asahi Shimbun reporter going, I could be doing Yakuza stuff and I'm dealing with a man who stole $5 of coffee. They decided on a strict application of the rules in the principal's case, and apparently this prefecture has previous, because a municipal employee was dismissed for pouring a 200 yen cafe latte at a self-serve coffee machine at a convenience store despite paying for a 100 yen coffee. I'm a little bit worried because I may have done exactly that repeatedly.
No pension for you.
I'll add a little bit of syrup at the Esso garage. If I'm filling up my car and it's costing me $100, I think that, you know, bit of shoplifting reverses the damage, I think. I'm not paying an extra 30p for
syrup.
This isn't
the first time you've admitted to incredible crimes. Didn't you, like, steal
incredible
something
crimes.
From Heathrow Airport once because you were like...
Oh, actually, that was just me wholesale. That was me.
It's a free can of coffee. I'll have that.
That
was
me tired. I was just tired and confused. I made off like a bandit. I think that's the only bit of proper shoplifting I've ever done. It's very exciting.
When you don't realise you're the villain, the Pete Donaldson story.
Exactly. I'm just sort of bumbling through life shoplifting. Remember Richard and Judy? Richard, there's TV presenters in Britain, a bumbling kind of idiot called Richard, and Judy was his wife, and they used to be on television together. And Judy was good, and Richard was just a real stupid posh man, and he was caught shoplifting once, and it was a real kind of like, it would be like, who's like, is it Kelly and Richard and Kelly? No, Kelly and something or other in America. They're like kind of like, you know, housewives kind of favourite kind of older men.
More sketchy knowledge from Pete.
Yeah,
weird animals in Kuwaiti restaurants or whatever.
It's not even 7 o'clock in the morning, Chris. Give me a bit of leeway.
Up American TV
I'm
shows,
off me on a bigger juice and bloody Love Arts, for crying out loud.
That's a shit breakfast.
I'll put it in my mouth now, I'm going to eat it. Sorry. It's happened.
But it's one of those things, isn't it? It seems quite excessive. 20 million yen of pension lost for a 490 yen theft. Like, did he do this before? Is this... Was this it? Is this just one thing? He was also an arms trader.
No, maybe it's just like a,
he was in Kuwait.
School principals are just, it's all tied up with being a leader of your community, I suppose, isn't it? And you've got to set an example to the children. So I imagine there's quite a lot of stuff written in your contract, or maybe even not. They just get away with absolute bloody murder in Japan when it comes to workplace relations and workplace conduct. But, yeah, it's probably just like, well, you are supposed to be leading the children, and we can't have you just stealing a moderate amount of coffee a couple of times. Awful. Absolutely awful.
I feel bad. Like, when they interviewed him, he said, well, I did it on the impulse of the moment. You've lost $135,000.
Hitting a button. Yeah.
Oh.
Just paying for the smaller cut. Well, surely this is all to do with... I mean, where was this? It was a convenience store. So it was technically proper theft. It wasn't like a school cafeteria. Imagine, I mean, if he's doing that in 7-Eleven, what's he doing elsewhere? That's what I want to know.
On the spur of the moment. I feel like this was a setup by the local government to save on pension payments. They were like,
yes.
Yeah, there's a coffee over there. Take the coffee, yeah. Oh, make sure you press the right button. Don't take the large one. Oh, you pressed it. Oh, is your pension gone?
Oh, just saved your pension.
500.
Maybe they could start these kind of naughty investigators who just follow around older people and try and take their pensioners away from them.
Like
this kind of whole squad of men in sort of trench coats and fedoras just following around. Because at some point they're going to, you know, I don't know, cut a red light or something. Just get them banked to rights. Take the pension off them. Save the welfare state.
It's probably how North Korea operates, to be fair. Under very similar circumstances. But, yeah, I mean, I think it's sad. I think that's a bit excessive. But examples need to be made. I don't know. I mean, right, where do you stand on this? Because I remember we talked about the guy, the Canadian dude, who defaced a temple with his name, like a 1,200-year-old temple. He wrote, "I'm a dickhead," or whatever, on it.
That's a little bit more clear-cut, isn't it?
And then, you know, I think he got a fine, and you were like, give that man a cookie. And like, that might not have been your exact words, but you were like, he's a simple mistake.
I say a lot of stuff, Chris. I do a lot of podcasts. I've got a lot of opinions, yeah?
Give that man a Q80 sweet shop,
for crying out loud. Yeah.
Oh, my God. Yeah. I don't know. But yeah, excessive. What do you think, guys? Let us know in the comments. But we'll be back in just a moment with your stories, comments and questions in the fax machine.
In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAG10 for 10% off your first purchase.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices
down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Wow.
And we're back with the fax machine. What do we got this week from our listeners, Mr. Dawson? Fill us in.
We're off to Savannah from Texas. Hello, Swiss Chris and Meet Pete. Couldn't think of clever alliteration, so I decided to do rhymes instead. But they're also not clever, so... I'm an alt in the smallish town of Nakatsugawa in Gifu Prefecture. It's along the Nakasendo, ooh, and I really love it here. Smiley face. I listened to your audiobook and I related so much to your experiences living in a small town during your first 3 years in Japan. Anyway, some of my fellow alts here and I decided to do a Dungeons and Dragons campaign since there's not much else to do here. We tried playing in one of our apartments, but we quickly realised that the thin Japanese walls could not contain our boisterous voices. We came up with the idea of reserving a room at the local karaoke place. We spend at least 6 hours every week playing D&D in a karaoke room, and it's been the perfect location. We can yell, we can cry, we can dramatically die to our heart's content without disrupting the locals. There was only one instance when a staff member came into the room and asked if we were going to sing, to which we replied no, and he just left. Have you ever heard of people reserving karaoke rooms for reasons other than singing? If so, what were those reasons? Sincerely, Savannah from Texas. Would you go to a karaoke room and just, I don't know, vent, scream about your dad, about your mum, about people who have annoyed you?
Yeah. Absolutely. Like, I did the podcast with Connor on the Abroad Japan podcast. I think the first time Connor came on the Abroad Japan podcast, it was a karaoke booth in Sendai, because something was wrong with the studio. There was some construction. And he was like, what is this? Because Trash Taste is like a $5 trillion setup with five Canon cameras and all this. And I was like, me on like a dinky camera in a fucking karaoke booth. And he's like, what is this? This is an atrocity. And also, I know Ryotaro uses karaoke booths to sometimes nap in and just have a sleep.
Right.
Just chill out, have a sleep, do some Napsky work. Napsky Asso. They are good for that, you know. They're good for just sitting in there and getting work done if you need a bit of peace and quiet. So, yeah.
I imagine it's like cheaper than like a WeWork or something. I mean, I guess in London and stuff, like karaoke places, Lucky Voice and stuff, they are so prohibitively expensive that it's really not the place to do stuff. And they're not great facilities, and you know, but in Japan, they're just so all over the place. You can you probably get decent prices for them. People sleep in them, don't they? And if they miss the last train,
absolutely. Yeah, they do. I think I've done that once. It wasn't overly comfortable. Don't recommend it. But it was like 1,500 to 2,000 yen for like 2 or 3 hours, and you get all you can drink. You get some really questionable food. Admittedly, probably not as bad as the Skemen or the Wendy's that I had, but they do food. I'm actually going to the Nakasendo Trail in the not too distant future, and I'm staying in the town of Nakatsugawa, so I'll have to keep an eye out for this Dungeons and Dragons group and burst into the karaoke booth and just do. I don't know what Dungeons and Dragons is. What is it, Pete? It's a board game, right?
It's role playing, isn't it? It's fantasy role playing.
Have you ever played it?
I did once when I surprisingly looking at me. I've not played a lot of role playing, to be honest, but I did play. There was a Ninja Turtles RPG back in the day that I kind of got into with a couple of friends at the. They used to be like this. I used to paint like Citadel miniatures, which obviously won't surprise you. You know, those little sort of lead figurines and I was terrible at it. Anyone who could paint those things well. I just think they're incredible. I think they're so talented to be able to do it. Because they're so very tiny, they're so very wee. And I used to play this Ninja Turtles one where I was this ass-kicking armadillo.
Of course you did.
But I lost patience with the Dungeon Master. Maybe I just hadn't had a decent Dungeon Master. That's the question.
Dungeon Master.
Do they still call them Dungeon Masters? I don't know.
I've got nothing against board games. It's just I never, outside of like Monopoly, I didn't really. Like all my American friends were always trying to rope me into things. Like a good friend of mine, he's always like, let's play Settlers of Catan. I'm like, I don't know what that is. It sounds fun.
Well, I think
life,
so. Let's
life is my video to... game. I don't need a board. Or poker. I'll play poker. Give me poker.
Right.
I'm sure it's good, though.
I would say like there's a... I mean, obviously, Settlers of Catan and board games are quite rigid with their rules and stuff, but, like, I think the Games Master, I think they're called. Like, so, like, a good Games Master, like, can make an RPG out of, like, a one-page detail of what a game is, basically. It's a fascinating discipline and, you know, real revival and has been very popular for the last few years. So, yeah, good. More power to your arm, Savannah from Texas. Enjoy.
Well, speaking of revival, our next question from Drew is about Shogun. Hello, guys. Ooh. I've been enjoying watching Shogun. We will talk about it at some point. Every week I dangle the carrot of Shogun, like, we'll talk about it next week, and then we just don't. I would ask, is it still legal to carry a sword in public in Japan? All the best, Drew. No, Drew, as far as I know, you can't walk down the street with a katana in hand like your John Blackthorne. Shogun or whatever. No, please don't do that. Don't try that. Don't ever do that.
That's a shame.
We've got one last question from Haley, who says, not really a long question, but related to the jet program and the girl who left, as it wasn't a party town like Hong Kong. Ah, my old colleague. Chris, do you think the Abroad Japan channel would have existed if you were in more of a party place like Osaka or Tokyo? Or would you be too busy propping up the bar in the local izakayas? All the best, Haley. Wherever I would have ended up, I would have done YouTube, I think, and probably would have been a lot more fun if I was in Osaka as well. The stories I would have come up with there, the things that would have happened, would have put Sakata to shame. But
you wouldn't have met Natsuki, though. You wouldn't have met her. What time of day did you meet Natsuki? Everyone in Osaka is just Natsuki.
Half of Osaka's population is just Natsuki. So
that is true.
It would have been different.
They're quite mad. What's the thing about in Osaka when you like shoot your gun at them? You point a gun in their face and with not a gun, your fingers, and they don't sort of pretend to die.
That's right.
That's like uniquely Osaka phenomena.
If you do like the space to where you pull out your fingers and pretend you're shooting someone, people are supposed to react to it. It said people react to it. I watched the YouTube video, actually, on somebody testing out this theory, like a social experiment, right?
Yeah.
Pretending to shoot people. And, but people did it. It was pretty cool.
Yeah.
I might try next time down there. Go around pointing my fingers.
Are you like, wave a real gun around?
Get out a fucking sword, Drew, wave it around Osaka and see what happens. Keep the stories, questions, comments coming in to abroadjapanpodcast@gmail.com. We'll be back later in the week, guys, to do it all over again. But for now, no matter where you might be, out there in the big wide world, have yourself a great few days. We'll see you right back here to talk about Shogun on the Abroad Japan podcast. Bye for now.
Japan is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.